Obviously, today is Father's Day. And the thought for today, or the message today, is what kind of father is God? And in this verse right here, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, we find the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. And it says here in verse number 9, Jesus says, "After this manner, therefore pray, ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And what Jesus does here is he introduces us to our Father in heaven. And I was 9 years old. My dad left home, and I'm 52 now, so that's 43 years ago, if my math is right. And we've spoken very few times in those 43 years. He is still alive, but when I got saved when I was 24, and then I met my Heavenly Father for the first time, okay? And he has never left me. He's never disappointed me, and I'm thankful for the Father that I have in heaven. So the thought this morning from this verse right here, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And the Lord tells us this is how you should pray. You start off with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so we're just going to look at some thoughts this morning about what kind of father is God. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the music. And Lord, thank you for the freedom we have to come together and worship you. I pray you'd bless this time now. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus introduces this idea of our Father in heaven. And again, this is a day that the world celebrates our earthly father. And we all have had an earthly father, whether, you know, like with me, we just have not had that father-son relationship. By the way, I've reached out over the years. It's just what it is, okay? It's just the way my earthly father is. He chooses not to have a relationship. Not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before, he had found out he had cancer, and I FaceTimed him. And so I have used my smartphone for other things too, but I FaceTimed him, and my youngest daughter, she just turned 21, and so she was 19 and a half at the time, and that was the first time he'd ever seen her, when we FaceTimed. My son was 20. He saw him when he was 1 month old, okay? But he's still my father here on earth. He's my father, and we all have a father. But I'm thankful for a Father in heaven, as I said before, who's never left me. He loves me unconditionally. He's always there for me. And though today we give honor, and I'm for the holiday, to give honor to our Father here on earth, we can never forget about the Father we have in heaven. And to do that, we have to have an accurate understanding of what he's like. And so here's just some thoughts today on what kind of father is God. Number one, God is a caring father. And we won't turn here, but I'll read this verse to you. Psalm 103, there's two verses, 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And, a caring father. God is a caring father. And just some thoughts from that are, as a father, the Bible says, pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And here's what it means. Just as a good father hurts when his child hurts, okay? rejoices in the child's victories, patiently guides them through mistakes. God responds to believers with that exact same warmth and empathy. Do you understand when we go through a heartache or a pain, God goes through it with us? Because that's what a father does. Okay, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I'm thankful that I have a Father in heaven that walks through me during the trials, or walks with me through the trials of my life. I'm thankful that I have a Father in heaven that pities me. Okay, and that word is not a bad word. It means he empathizes with me. He understands. I'm never alone. By the way, when I have a victory, he's there. He's there with me through the victories. He rejoices when I rejoice. When I make a mistake, you know, as a good father, we will discipline our children. But discipline without instruction is failure. Okay? If we're not teaching them something through the mistake, we're not helping them. And I'm glad that when I make mistakes, I have a Father in heaven who cares for me so much that he helps me through the mistake. And he's there when I correct it. And by the way, he doesn't bring it up all the time to me. He just helps me and then we move on. Them that fear him, the Bible says. This does not mean, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. This doesn't mean I'm cowering in terror of my Father in heaven. What it means is I have a reverential awe, a deep respect, a willing, loving obedience to God the Father in heaven. I fear him, but it's a deep respect. I don't want to disappoint him. There have been times in my life where I've had to call my mom and say, "Mom, I messed up. Here's what I did." And I felt bad because I know what she was sacrificing to raise me by herself. And I disappointed her. It wasn't fear, like cowering fear. She's going to beat me with a spoon or something, okay? Though she did have a long metal spoon that she threatened me with all the time. Not a wooden one, a metal one, okay? And sometimes if I was messing up, I'd just hear the drawer rattle and I knew I was, okay, it's time to straighten up, okay? But no, it was a fear of disappointing her. And when we understand that my fear to the Lord isn't a cowering fear, though he can discipline me, I don't want to disappoint my Father in heaven. I don't want to make decisions where he's disappointed. You know, I talk about this often, but when Peter walked on water, he was walking towards the Lord, and as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he walked on water. But as soon as he started looking at the boisterous wind around him, he started to sink. You know what he did? He made a mistake. He took his eyes off the Lord. But you know what the Lord did? Peter said, "Save me." He didn't say, "No, you need to spend an hour under the water before I'm going to save you." Right? Immediately, he reached out his hand and he rescued him. Now, he rebuked him. You know, "Though thou have little faith." But you understand, he helped him. Peter made a mistake and he was there for him. Peter disappointed him and he was there for him. And if you're a parent at all, you understand that sometimes our kids disappoint us. But if we're caring parent, like the Lord, our God is a caring father, we're there to help them through that mistake. You know, verse 14 says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Okay, God understands human frailty and our limitations. He understands our weaknesses. And he responds with mercy. Okay, it's not a harsh judgment. He responded to Peter with mercy. Though sometimes, you know, we do go through times of discipline. I can't think of the word I'm trying to use here, but chastening is the word. And that's part of our growth as a child of his. Sometimes a good father has to chasten his children. And our caring Father in heaven chastens us. But anytime he's ever dealt with me, there's always been mercy involved. And I'm thankful for that. And, you know, he understands who we are. He understands where we're at. When my kids were 4 and 5 years old, I didn't expect them to act like an adult. Okay? God doesn't expect us to act like something we're not. But he does expect us to understand how much he cares for us and for us to get to know him and serve him as one of his children. And some other verses here, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, a lot of us, we walk around with baggage. My son flew to Texas on Thursday morning. He had to be at Midway Airport at 5 in the morning because he saved himself $250 by leaving at 5 as opposed to later in the day. Well, he was so worried he wasn't going to make it on time, he couldn't sleep the night before. So he got to the airport. They're flying to his girlfriend lives in Corpus Christi, so he's flying down to spend the week with her family. And as they're on the plane headed down, Dallas got hit with some really bad storms. So instead of landing in Dallas like they were supposed to, he ended up landing in Oklahoma, and everybody got rerouted. So when he finally made it to Dallas at 5:30 in the afternoon, what should have been a 4-hour flight turned, now it's 12 hours, and he called me and he was exhausted, and I said, well, when are you going to Dallas? He said, well, it's going to be at least 7:30. So they sat in Oklahoma for a couple hours, then he finally made it to Dallas, and then they couldn't get a connecting flight because everybody that was supposed to be there earlier was all there at the same time, and they're trying to get everybody. But the point is, he had to carry his and her luggage around all day long. You know, so not only is he tired, he's dragging around all this luggage. You know, and sometimes we go through life like that. And by the way, life, many times, we have a storm comes, and we can't get to where we're supposed to go or where we think we're supposed to be. And it turns out, from something that should have been easy, turns out to be this long task. But can I tell you what makes it even longer? When we're carrying around baggage that the Lord can help us carry. What's that verse say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, I don't need to go lay on somebody's couch and talk for an hour and unload all my burdens on someone I don't know. I can spend time with the Lord and share with him my cares. And he cares for me so much that he helps me with it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? We have a caring Father. God is a caring Father. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. That's in Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 32. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, we have to understand there's wants and then there's needs. And it's okay to have some wants, but God didn't promise to take care of those. He did promise to take care of every need that we had. Just like a father should take care of the needs of his children. You know what the difference is between God and an earthly father? My father didn't meet a lot of my needs growing up. But my heavenly father has never not met one need that I've had. Never. I remember one summer, I called my dad, and I said, "Dad, look, school's getting ready to start. We don't have enough money for school clothes. Can you help us out?" "Well, I don't have, you know." Now, he was remarried and had some stepkids. And I said, "But you have enough money to help your stepkids get what they need, right? Just not your real kids, you know?" And I understand that's how a 12-year-old kid, you know, and he hung up on me, you know? I mean, but anytime I've ever went to God with a need, you know what he's done? He's provided it for me. He's never disappointed me. Okay? Never. I'm thankful that I have a caring Father in heaven. Number two is he's a consistent Father. Yeah, I love baseball. And if you're a fan of baseball, there's an umpire. He calls balls and strikes behind the plate. And I don't care if his strike zone's bigger than the next umpire or smaller, as long as he's consistent. Okay? If he's calling a strike that's this far off the plate, and the next time he calls it a ball, and then he calls it, you know, that's inconsistency. That's not a good umpire. Okay? If you're going to have that wide of a strike zone, at least be consistent. Right? And I'm thankful that we have a consistent God, our Father in heaven. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You understand that everything that is truly good and beneficial in our life came from our Father in heaven. Everything that is good and truly beneficial came from our Father in heaven. And life itself. God gave us life. That's a good gift. Wisdom. Salvation. The greatest gift given to man came from our Father in heaven. And it all originated with God in heaven. It says here and cometh down from the Father of lights. Okay? God is the creator. The sun, the moon, the stars. Okay? What do? They dispel darkness. Right? We wake up sometimes and it's cloudy and it's dark. And what dispels that darkness? Okay? The sun rises. Okay? God is the ultimate source of spiritual life and truth and purity. The Father of lights. And then it says, with whom is no variableness. So when I say he's a consistent Father, variableness, it means he does not change. Okay? With whom is no variableness. There is no changing in God. If I feel like God is far away from me, I moved. He did not. God doesn't change. There's no variableness in him. Okay? The sun and the moon, they move. They rotate, or we rotate. You don't understand what I'm saying? They're not in the same place all the time. But God is. He never changes. Okay? God's love and character are constant. He is entirely reliable. And listen to this. He never, ever has a bad day. You understand that? If I was to ask how many of you in here have had a bad day, if your hand did not get raised, I want to talk to you afterwards, okay? Because we've all had a bad day. We've all had an off day. But God never has. And he never will. He's consistent. I had an inconsistent father growing up. Guess what? I have four children. I'm an inconsistent father. My youngest daughter, the older three tell me, how come you weren't as easy on us as you are on her? You know, I don't know. Is that, that's the rite of passage for the youngest child, I think, right? They get away with everything. At least that's what I'm told by the older three. Okay, but no, listen, God is consistent. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's consistent. So we have God is a caring father. He's a consistent father. Next, God is a close father. And listen to this verse, Acts 17:27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Now listen, though he be not far away from every one of us. Though he be not far away from every one of us. You know what that means? That he's close to us. He's close to us. God is never too busy for us. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. You know what nigh means? It means he's close. Praise the Lord, he's close. You know, I use this illustration, but I've woken up in the middle of the night and my wife wasn't there. So I get up and where's she at? You know, she's supposed to be right here. Is something wrong? Is she not feeling well? You know, we ought to treat God that way. We ought to spend so much time with him that when we start to drift, we know something's wrong. Now, God's always where he's supposed to be, but sometimes we get away. A great illustration was the other Wednesday night. A fellow named Matt Payne preached our service Wednesday night. He's an assistant pastor there. And he said, you know, he has four kids. They're all probably seventh grade and under. And he said, my wife and I went away for a couple days with just her and I. And after about 2 hours, she said, I miss the kids. And he's like, why? We're doing this to get away from them for a few days. And she says, but you know what? She's always with them. So when they weren't there, something wasn't right. She didn't feel right. You know, that's how it ought to be with us in the Lord. He's always close to us, but when we start to drift, we ought to know it right away. Wait a minute, something's off. I need to get back to where I'm supposed to be. And what's it say there? If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far away. He's close. He's never too busy for us. He loves to meet our needs. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 7:11. God loves to meet our needs. Why? Because he's close to us. He loves them. How many of you in here have ever met the need of someone, whether it's your child or someone in your family or a friend, and that feeling was a great feeling? Not so you could get arrogant or proud, but you know, we're never more like the Lord than when we give. And when you meet a need and the joy you see in that person, that the need was met and the joy you feel, that's how our Father in heaven, because he's so close to us, he loves to meet our needs. By the way, God is sympathetic to our hurts. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be as a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He's sympathetic to our hurts. Sometimes we go through hurt and we try to do it alone. But we have a God that's close to us. He cares for us. And he wants to help us through that heartache and through that pain. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get over it in a day or a week. We may carry it for a long time. But God's there to help us along the way because he's close to us. So what kind of father is God? He's a caring father, a consistent father, a close father, and lastly, he's capable. Okay? God is a capable father. And what do I mean by that? Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. He's capable to meet any need I have. He's capable to help me through any situation I'm in. Why? Because nothing shall be impossible with my Father in heaven. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's capable. There's nothing he can't do. Now sometimes he allows things to happen to us to help us. You know, some of the hardest times as a father is to let my children go through something that I know is going to make them better on the other side. Now, I'm not talking about playing in the street, okay? Dangerous things. I'm talking about a life situation that they need to go through and learn from. Okay? And am I capable to go and help them sometimes? Yes. But is it best for them to learn? Yes. You understand the prodigal son had a father who could have went and pulled him out of the miry clay or out of the pig pen, but it wouldn't have helped that prodigal son. Do I know that, you know, the prodigal son's father is a good example. I believe he was a caring father. I believe he was consistent. I believe he was close. He definitely was capable. Why do I believe that? Because he was on the porch looking for his son every day. And you remember when the prodigal son came home? The Bible says he came to himself. And his first thought was, a servant in my father's house has it better than I do. I'm going to go home and be a servant. And when he was on his way home, his father met him. But he had to come to himself. Sometimes a capable father, like our Father in heaven, allows us to go through something hard because it's going to help us be a better servant for him. But he's capable to meet every need. He's capable to do anything. So these are just some thoughts on what kind of father we have in heaven. What kind of father is God? He's caring, consistent, close, capable. Now, as a conclusion, is God everyone's father? You know, that's what the world says today. We're all serving the same God. We're all going to get there. We're all on our own journey. Well, Galatians 3:26 says this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know how we become a child of God? When we accept the Lord as our Savior. So is God everyone's father? He's the father of everyone that is saved, that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an invitation here in a second. And it's okay to come forward or ask in the back if you've never been saved, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. Is God everyone's father? The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And today is an opportunity for you to come to know the Lord as Savior if you do not. If you're here this morning and during the invitation, maybe we've gotten a little bit away from our Father in heaven. It's a time where you can pray and ask the Lord for guidance and get back to where we're supposed to be. So those are just some thoughts today on Father's Day about our God. What kind of Father is God? He's caring. He's consistent. He's close. And He's capable.